Blog Talk Radio.
Greatest show live, baby.
It is, y'all.
Yo! Holla!
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B-Boss, and the Hot Box Commander.
How you wanna end up on a 2-hour show and get your brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Boom, with the topic, sort of like Terrell. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Greetings, sports fans and B. Austin groupies. Welcome back to the best roundtable in sports. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports, the company that's revolutionizing the revolution in sports media. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm joined by the WRS A-Team. That's Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, Akil Bayon, and Paul Johnson. We got a great show for you today. Due to a scheduling conflict, we've been forced to push the Lee Steinberg interview to next week's show. But we'll talk college football with Fred Perdue of Heavy in the Game Sports Radio in Florida, and we'll be all over the free agent frenzy in the NFL. So make sure you, listen tonight, but tune in next week if you want to hear the real-life Jerry Maguire. So do what you usually do. Join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports to join the conversation. You can call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline in about 30 minutes at 323-410-0012. Before we get down to the get down, we'd like to shout out the team. The future of sports talk radio has arrived, so be sure to listen to Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also catch Mojo and the crew of the Season Ticket on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio as well. Finally, you can check out Brandon and Daniel of Sports Trap Radio on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time at ueradiolive.com. But don't worry, if you can't catch them live, you can hear and watch all of our partner shows at warroomsports.blogspot.com. In addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on New Vibe Radio at 7 a.m., 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. We're happy to announce that War Room Sports has just signed a partnership agreement with Vox Media / SB Nation for the production of enhanced sports video content for initial distribution through our YouTube channel, warroomsportstv.com. You guys can look for some exciting new things on the channel in the coming weeks and months, including Field Vision, our joint NFL venture with Sports Kings. We'd like to thank our fans, whom we consider family, for consuming all forms of War Room Sports Media and helping us further revolutionize the revolution in sports media. But enough of that. It's birthday time. My birthday. Yay!
Woo! What's up, gentlemen? How are you?
What's the deal?
Feeling good.
Yo, they cut the check. That's how I'm feeling.
I'm excited, man, because we have a special brand of sports talk, it's only built for Cuban links, and,
ice water.
It's strictly for live men, not for freshmen, but at the same time, people embrace it, and the movement is growing. But the birthdays, for those who possibly listen for the first time, are brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, which includes the NFL Sunday Ticket, go to our website. That's warroomsports.com. Click on the DirecTV logo and order DirecTV, because if you go through our site, guess what? You get a special discount, and who doesn't love discounts? The first birthday I want to bring to you, gentlemen, is one Larry Demetric Johnson, who turns 43.
My birthday! Yay!
Grandmama!
Larry.
Be awesome. You started it off already. I heard what you were going to say.
Larry.
That's what they call me, yo. Grandmama, I was a fan. He started off the big contract. He got the first 8-year, $84 million deal from Charlotte, I believe. And even after he lost his bounce, he still was a very good player, had to adjust, got some skills, shot some threes.
He also started off the the Madea trend.
Yeah,
Tyler Perry owe him a check or not? I mean,
he dressed up. He was a 6'7" grandma in his
shout out to the part in the middle of the head too. Shout out to the parts in the middle of the head.
Larry Johnson always looked like a thug on the basketball court. Like, he had the part in the middle of the head. He had the gold tooth. He looked like Mike Tyson in a basketball uniform.
Like, he played basketball like Mike Tyson.
He had game, though, man. Larry Johnson had game. He's one of those guys, by the time he got to the Knicks, you know, he started shooting a lot of threes because his body was breaking down. But when he first came into the league and Charlotte had Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning, like, their front court was something to be reckoned with.
Here's the thing, man. I gotta keep it 1,000. Growing up in the inner city, there's certain teams that you root for, like the UNLV team back in the day, the Fab Five. You know, there's teams that you just root for. So
why,
it started,
Jim?
With the whole UNLV.
Why?
Because
they had street cred, man.
Street cred.
Exactly. My man Khalid Salam told y'all last week.
I'm just keeping it honest, though. Got to keep it honest. And, you know, at that time growing up, you're like, yo, I got to root for UNLV. He was part of that team, which is one of the greatest college teams of all time. And then you look at his game. He had major game. I mean, dude had me wearing Converse. And back then, you couldn't really wear Converse. It's like post-doc. Post-doc and Magic. So, you know, nobody was really rocking Converse. He come back with the first Grandma Ma. You know what I mean? It was nice, but... his game was definitely tough. Plastic Man, Stacey Augman, you know what I mean? Greg Anthony. And it's funny because Greg Anthony back then seemed like a thug too, and now he's like one of the most well-spoken guys in the media. He had a complete change.
That Vaseline on his lips.
LaVoy McConnell, shout out to Casey Mack. He just hit me on Twitter and said, change college basketball. But in his opinion, he helped throw the game against Duke. So I'm not getting into the conspiracy theories, but you know, shout out to Larry Johnson on his birthday. I know Doc Bay.
I think they threw the game. I don't know if they threw it. They probably was cheating in the first place because they were like the Monstars.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Like, they were so good that they lost the game and everybody just assumed they cheated because that's how good they were.
They had to throw that. They can't lose.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I back and won the next year. Go ahead, though, Doc.
I got to Now, interesting story, everything you guys said, but when they played, when Larry Johnson and UNLV played, they beat Arkansas, when they had Todd Day and Lee Mayberry and Oliver Miller, Larry Johnson said to Coach Nolan Richardson, yo, you need to go get some men on your team, because they were just, they killed Arkansas. So then Nolan Richardson went and found Corliss Williamson, and then they won championship. But like you said, his post game was crazy. He would dunk on your face. He was strong. I'm saying he could probably bench like 300 or more. I mean, he was just a crazy physical specimen, but his back gave out because I guess all that, you know, jumping and hitting the ground. But yeah, homie was nice. In his prime, he was easily 22-10 and would just dunk on your mouth. Like, it was crazy.
They dunk on your face and your mouth.
Absolutely. Shout out to him on his birthday.
One
Wesley Cecil Unseld, better known as Wes Unseld.
My birthday.
Turned 67.
Yay!
I've never met anyone, and I haven't met him either, whose middle name or first name for that matter is Cecil. That's S-I-S-S-E-L. Where'd that come from? And what is it?
Slavery.
Gentlemen, when I say the name, he was a slave. Anyway, when I say the name Wes Unseld, what comes to mind?
Great, great basketball player, horrendous NBA executive, friend of the late great owner of the Washington Bullets, because I don't call them the Wizards, and the master of the full court outlet pass.
Yeah, his full court outlet pass was crazy. Not like I was alive to see it really back then. Well, I was alive, but I wasn't really watching basketball because I was
wasn't paying attention.
But yeah, because he won a chip in like '78 with the Bullets. Yeah, but from all NBA films account, this dude, his outlet pass was crazy. Like, who makes a living? Who makes a name off of a skill like an outlet pass? Wes Unseld and Kevin Love, the best outlet passers of all time, I guess. But shout out to Wes on his birthday, because
It's funny because me personally,
69 rookie of the year. I do remember that.
You know, just me personally, I was always like a sports nerd. I mean, I used to collect the cards and read the statistics. And, of course, he played before my time. But I always grew up thinking he was overrated because I would see this guy who, you know, they call him Finals MVP. He won a league MVP. And I would look at his basketball card and see that his career average was 10 points. And, you know, and I kind of blame Mike for that because I grew up thinking that if you're a great player, you got to score 30 a game, yo. So,
true.
You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, how are you this great player but you average 10 points? You know, as you get older, you realize there's more to the game than scoring.
Game week.
So let's just assume he did that.
But the Bill Russell say, though, man.
What did Bill Russell say, man?
We got to get that sound bite, man. He said, this game has always been and will always be about buckets. So you do got to get buckets.
Yeah, Bill.
He got 10 points.
And that's
game,
coming
yo,
from
man.
A dude who didn't really get buckets.
But here's what's funny about this. We talk about Wes Unseld, and you guys spend a couple minutes talking about his outlet pass.
Well, you said yourself he didn't get buckets, so we had to talk about something.
Listen, man, you got nothing good to say. Don't say nothing at all, though. Doc, hey, what do you have to say about Wes Unseld?
All I know about Wes Unseld is that he used to keep a fro, and he used to have the best outlet passes. That's it, man. Like, I have no highlights of him catching the ball and scoring. Like, it was all defensive rebounds.
I think he still got a fro.
He does.
Yo. Yo, a pray tell, man. He doesn't have a fro, man. I'm just going to assume that he doesn't. I cannot confirm nor deny that, but I'm not going to assume he doesn't just because I don't want him to have one. Yo, damn screen that. But anyway, let's move on to the next birthday.
Hey, early.
The next birthday is one Vance Johnson, who turns 50 years old.
Was he the first female NFL player? Because his hair definitely was.
Yeah, he was the first black dude with the slick back, greasy hair. He combed his hair backwards.
No, nah, he was chill. He was an Indian. He was Native American, brother.
Man, last name Johnson.
I'll start this off. When I think of Vance Johnson, I think of all the many arguments I had in reference to who I think is the greatest quarterback of all time, which I say is John Elway. But because people say, he had weapons. He had the three amigos. He had Vance Johnson. Yeah, he did have Vance Johnson. And you just proved my point by saying that. Like, yo, Vance Johnson, right, is extremely overrated. They put him in the three amigos so people assume he played great football, which he didn't. Let me ask you guys a question. Calvin Johnson this past year had how many receiving yards?
Almost 2,000.
18 and change.
Yeah, he had about 2,000, close to 2,000 yards. Well, Vince Johnson had like 5,000 for his whole career. Yet people somehow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but yet his name comes up like he's good.
And that's what I'm like, what? I'm like, seriously?
But I'm
nah,
sorry, that's all because of the marketing machine. You give one receiver or a group of wide receivers a nickname, and the people who really don't get to see him play, they think that they're more than what they really are.
So what you're saying is you must be judicious. You must be judicious with your nickname giving.
You gotta do
something. Well, not these days. That's out the window these days, Austin. Like, well, you know, coming up, you had to like do something to get a nickname. Now you get a nickname just you know, for sake of having a nickname.
Yeah,
and that's just the way it is.
Like
so
Booby.
The nickname is out the window now, man. Like Tough Juice.
Yeah.
Anyway,
speaking of that, Jim, his birthday was yesterday, but he didn't make the list because we talk enough about Tough Juice in the war room. So.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, now you're just getting anyway. Wait, let's move on because I know nobody has anything to say at all about Vance Johnson, so let's not pretend.
I can talk about Ricky Natil though.
let's talk about this. Let's give a rest in peace shout out to one of the all time great baseball players, at least of my generation, and that's Anthony Kirby Puckett. You know, who died in 2006 in March. He was also born in March of 1960 and died in 2006.
In my day,
it's funny. I was having a baseball discussion the other day, and you know, baseball is all about statistics, and all you do is compare players. And it's funny because of every generation, there's, like, different players. I didn't see Roberto Clemente play, but I saw guys like Tony Gwynn, Barry Bonds, Kirby Puckett. So these are some of the names that come up when I think about great baseball players. And he was definitely one of the best I've seen play. So rest in peace.
Anybody got
anything to say?
I gotta consult my man Casey Max List, or ask him myself. Did he have Kirby Puckett as Mr. Twin? Because he definitely leads the franchise in hits, runs, doubles, and total bases. And he has a .318 career batting average, which that's kind of crazy. So, yeah, shout out, rest in peace, and happy birthday to Kirby Puckett.
Yeah. Now, Deb, tell everybody what happened this past week while they were on the grind.
Will do, will do. All right, everybody, while you're on the grind, brought to you by Bay Financial Services. Go to our website, worldroomsports.com, click on the Sponsors tab, click on the Bay Financial Services logo, and get your money right. It is tax time, so you might want to hit those people up. Fellas, did you guys hear about the story in Chicago where the little girl, 6 months of age, was shot 5 times as her father was changing her diaper in their minivan on the street of Chicago? Derek Rose has actually volunteered to pay for this little girl's funeral, which is a great gesture by Derek Rose, but I want to know, like, where are we as a society? I mean, I'm not sure if they were just – I mean, I'm pretty sure they were gunning for her father, but at the same time, how many bullets do you spray over into a van where you're hitting a little girl, 6 months old, 5 times and taking her life? I mean, they had more than 500 homicides last year alone, man. It's getting crazy in the Windy City right now. And that's one of my favorite cities, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, I have several thoughts because I know that people on our Facebook page were saying, like, forget the story about him paying for it. Let's talk about the crime. But those are two different stories because the crime was horrific. And what's going on in Chicago is horrific. But let's not forget, and let's not act like this is the worst that Chicago's been. Statistically speaking, when you look at their population and the amount of murders they had, this isn't the worst that Chicago has been. So it's just a matter of now it's being covered by the media, which could be a good thing in the long term. So we'll see what happens in terms of the violence because it has to die down. But at the end of the day, speaking to the Derrick Rose story, it's still a nice gesture to have him step up and want to be a part of the community because I know several athletes who played in Philadelphia, met him personally, talked to him, who will tell you, listen, I don't care. It's none of my business. I made it up and it is what it is. So, it's still a nice gesture. It's not the biggest part of the story, but it's still a nice gesture.
And Derrick Rose, from all accounts, Jimmy, he doesn't come across as the guy who's looking. Yeah, he doesn't really look for that type of attention. But, somebody who likes what he's doing is going to make it public either way. So, people are going to find out about it. But he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who asks for credit or asks for that type of attention.
And that's the thing. And from every account, none of us have – well, I know personally I haven't met Derrick Rose. But from what you see and how he conducts himself and how he carries himself and some of these gestures like this, he seems to be a good guy, So it still is a good story in terms of the crime of Chicago. That's a whole different story. It's sad. I mean, in every major city, what's going on is sad, and there are a lot of reasons for it. I don't want to get on the soapbox and start talking about education, but I'll let one of you gentlemen talk because that's what I'm going to end up doing.
Yeah, because it was crazy. The little girl, her name was Janila Watkins. Police officials have said that the shooting was a gang-related attempt on the life of her father. He was hit a few times, but I believe he's still in the hospital trying to recover from his wounds, but it's crazy, man.
I really, honestly, as a parent, man, I couldn't even, like, every time I see the picture of the little girl, that shit just chokes me up, man. I can't really talk about it, man. Let's move on, man.
we'll move it on.
Let's move on.
Well, this story isn't too much better. I mean, it gets better than a six-month-old getting shot. But Mike Vick had to cancel his book signing tour amid threats of violence. So Mike Vick was slated to go on a tour for his new book, an autobiography called Finally Free. But according to the publisher, they received threats. Vic received threats. his family received threats in every outlet, every Barnes & Noble that he was supposed to attend, you know, to do his book signing, they received threats as well. Is this a situation, B. Austin and Doc Bay, where people need to just get over the whole Mike Vick thing at this point and just let him live his life?
Yeah,
it's
I
crazy.
Think...
Go
ahead.
B. Austin.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's crazy because it's been, what, three years removed? I mean, he served his time. He's done everything. I mean, he wrote a book, so he's going to talk about what happened. I mean, how many people do we know that write a book, well, they're on top, then they fall off, then they write a book, they get back on top, and then everybody's applauding them for it. But now they want to, like, shoot Mike Vick up and the fame and the face of Barnes & Noble. Yeah, that's kind of Neanderthals. People need to grow up.
Yeah. It's like I don't understand the whole sentiment because if you're disgusted at what he did, then what are you threatening violence or actually going out and committing violence? Like, how much better than him are you, you know, in the whole situation? That doesn't make sense to me.
That's like when you're out in public and you see a mother hit their child and say, "You don't put hands on people." And you're like, you just hit him to tell him that though. You're exactly right. Like, what kind of message is that to say? And my another thing I have is, who still buys physical books anyway? I don't know if people still did that, but anyway.
I mean, if they're getting people buy them if they're getting signed, people do that kind of stuff. A person who wrote a book, they die and become a martyr, then you got their signature on their book.
Here's the thing, though, in terms of...
Jimmy saying that, we're going to be on a book tour in a couple months.
Yeah, how about that? Here I go. I know, I'm playing my life away. But anyway, the whole Mike Vick...
We're going to be signing books like, why are y'all buying physical books?
Regardless of how you feel about what he did, at some point you have to get over it. I'm an animal lover myself. I was outraged at what happened when it happened. But at the end of the day, he paid his debt to society. He paid his debt to society. He's back trying to make a living. And from all intents and purposes, we don't even hear him doing anything else at this point. So, I mean, let him live. There are people who have murdered human beings and done more egregious things than what Mike Vick did who are walking the streets now.
Ew.
Although.
I'm sorry. Right? They just showed Kobe Bryant's ankle on TV, man.
Oh, yeah. You know. Anyway, back to Mike Vick. So that's my opinion. They must get over it. They have to move on. It's just a dumb story, yo.
Yeah. Just move on, people. Austin, you had something? Or are you good?
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's indicative of the paradox of society. We take an athlete. We take a celebrity. They've committed a crime. They've done a wrong. We string them up, we tear them down, we call them all sorts of hateful names and suggest we'd like to do all sorts of hateful things that oftentimes are more egregious than the act that they've committed themselves. He's paid his debt to society. Let that man alone, you know, and we won't go into the discussion of which types of folks were probably sending death threats, but none of them probably lived in Newport News. That's all.
In other news, Tiger Woods, he's won another tournament. It wasn't a major, but he won the WGC Cadillac Championship at Doral this past Sunday. And, of course, he moved solely into first place with 76 career PGA Tour wins. I don't know. I see a lot of people now, because Tiger has two wins already, and the Masters, you know, haven't even come around yet. And, you know, I believe the last time he had two wins before the Masters, he actually won the Masters. But the thing is with Tiger, man, I think expectations, because he's been so good throughout his career, the expectations are so high. Like, every time he wins a tournament, if it's not a major, everyone's diminishing it, it seems like, you know, to me, at least the circles that I'm in, it seems like people are like, so what? It's not a major. But 76 tour wins, I think that's pretty amazing in its own right, whether or not it's a major tournament.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. Like, we were talking the other day, and I said Tiger basically is competing against himself at this point. He's not even competing against the guys out there. And that sounds crazy to say because there are a lot of great golfers, although people get caught up in, you know, the whole Tiger Woods thing. But at the end of the day, he's competing against himself. This is sort of like, you know, Jordan when he played for the Wizards. Although he was a great player, he knew he wasn't the Jordan from Chicago. But when you look at those numbers, Mike was still putting up amazing numbers.
Yo, Mike was putting up 22 a game as a 40-year-old.
But that's my point. But my point is the fact that he's Michael Jordan, people were like, oh, he fell off. You know what I'm saying? Yo, if you average 22 points a game now, yo, it's like you're an all-star. I mean, West Unseld averaged, you know, 10 points. Never mind, that's a whole other story. But
yeah,
you get the point I'm making. So Tiger basically is competing against himself at this point. And when you get to that point in your career in terms of a sport, that also shows how high your pinnacle was.
Right. All right, well, let's get to this last one real quick because we got a couple calls on the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. Hometown boy B-Hop Bernard Hopkins is now the oldest champion ever, again, because he broke his own age record. He's the IBF champ at 48 years old because he beat Tavares Cloud for the IBF belt this past weekend in a fairly easy fight. And then afterwards, he took a couple of shots at Don King, saying that, you know, I retired Don King because I just, you know, stopped his last horse. What do you guys think about B-Hop winning fights at 48? When he told his mom he was going to stop fighting 8 years ago. Like, this is amazing, though. I mean, some of his last few fights, you know, they were kind of boring, to say the least. But the fact that he's still getting it done at 48 is just impressive to me, man. I don't know what you guys think.
Yo, I can't even lie to you. He's my favorite fighter. I wanted Catfish to retire when he said he would, but he is continuing to dominate and just give pugilistic lessons. Yo, when you're 48, you shouldn't be able to beat up a 31-year-old like that, man. I don't care what. Yo, he's the truth, man.
It's like
shout out to
B-Hop. His style neutralizes people. It neutralizes their aggression because if you watch film on Tavares Cloud, like, he's a very aggressive fighter, and you kind of thought, you know, this guy might have a chance, you know, if he goes in there and he's aggressive against B-Hop, and B-Hop just kind of methodically took the fight to him, and Tavares Cloud never really got that opportunity to be the aggressor like he usually is, and I just can't understand how Hopkins continues to do this to fighters over and over again. I don't understand that.
Now, I have a question. How long do y'all think he should keep going? Should he go to 50, 52, 55?
He said he has, did he say 5 more years? Or did he say
yeah,
5 more fights?
He said he wants to retire at 52.
He said 5 something, either 5 years or 5 fights, but something. He's going to fight until he's 50.
I'm not even going to comment on this. I mess with B-Hop. He's from Uptown Philadelphia, such as I am, so I've always been a fan of B-Hop. He speaks what's on his mind, whether you like it, whether he's right, wrong, or it's not real English. But at the end of the day, he's a specialist, man. He's a pugilist specialist. And like Dev just said, his style just counteracts what all these young guys try to do. He gives them boxing lessons, and it's funny because his cardio is amazing. This guy fought 12 round fights at his age, and look, you know, he's not even out of breath. It's crazy.
No. Hey, well, let's go to the line real quick because we got a couple of calls to get to before we have our guest on in a couple of minutes. So we'll do this real quick. We got our homie Rob from San Diego on the line. Rob, you're in the war room. What's going on, bro?
What's up, man? What's up, Jimmy? What's up, B. Austin? B. the Bandman
Austin?
What's good, Rob?
What's up, man? Okay, the Philadelphia Eagles. I know, you know, I like talking to Philly cats because they actually know about the Eagles. You know what I'm saying? So I need to know. So I seen. We know we made a good couple free agents. You know, we brought them in, and I think during the draft we're probably gonna get offensive tackle and not anybody else. But in the second round, I want to get Biasa's view on this. In the second round, do you think we should get a wide receiver?
No.
No.
Yeah, I have an odd take on the one thing that I did pick up from Andy Reid in his years is I build from the inside out. The closer you are to the ball, the higher a premium I place on you. So I want my high draft picks to be D linemen and O linemen. I want them to be the very best thoroughbred fat boys I can find up front, and then I can go out to free agency. And I can go lower in the draft and fill out skill position players The only time I want somebody that's really, really a big name, even if it's in the draft, is if I'm one piece away from being a Super Bowl contender. And we all know from what our Eagles look like, we are far from that. So I'd rather just go through a rebuild mode and spend the money on O linemen and D linemen, man.
Right.
Rob, I was saying that me and Austin have had this conversation several times, and we are in agreement that fat boys win football games, and that's defensive line, that's offensive line. And the thing about the receiver position, right, you can always get a good receiver later in the draft. When you think about teams that win championships, a lot of times they don't have first-round wide receivers or second-round wide receivers because you don't have to, like, you know, spend that kind of pick on that position. It's a very dependent position, and I think we're all in agreement here in the war room that it's the most dependent position. So, you know, the interior is where we're in complete agreement with this. Is where they do. I like all the moves they've been making thus far because at the end of the day, you want to get rid of that whole regime, so to speak. The coach is good.
Yeah, and even Jimmy, even when you think about you know, the big guys up front, the Eagles have needs way before you get to positions like wide receiver. You know, they need to address the defensive backs, you know, in a couple of positions like that. But, yeah, I don't think they need a receiver that high in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, because I kind of knew, like, we weren't going to get Jake Long. Andre Smith maybe up in the air.
Right.
But if we do, would you guys will be happy with Kenny Britt or what's my boy from USC?
Oh, if we were able to pick up a Kenny Britt, that would be great. I mean, I think we need to
address Kenny Britt, but he got brushing teeth, man.
Oklahoma, my fault.
Oh, okay. You said Kenny Britt, he got brushing teeth, brother.
I'm about to say, if there was a deal in place for us to get Kenny Britt, like, you know, that'd be cool, but I was about to say I didn't hear anything about that. But right, we're about to have a guest to talk a little college football. We're actually going to get back to the NFL free agent frenzy in about 15, 20 minutes. So we'll be talking about that in a little while. So thanks for your call, man.
Brother Rob, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you.
All right, thanks, man. I always listen to y'all before I go to class. Thanks, man.
Thank you, man.
Take it easy, homie.
All right.
Hey, by the way, Dev, before you go to the next call, I just want you to know the Philadelphia police have sent out a tweet and said they don't want Kenny Britt on the Eagles.
All right, because I see we got our guest holding on the line real quick. We're gonna go to Jeff in Chi-Town. JT.
Hey, what's going on, man? What's going on, War Room?
What's going on?
What's up?
I know you wanted to address that. The violent situation and the Derrick Rose thing?
Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to address it real quick because I know you all have an exciting guest on the line.
Yeah, give us the scoop. Oh, by the way, this is our homie JT from out in Chicago, ranked top 5 sports talk radio out in Chicago. Make sure y'all check him out on Blog Talk Radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, man, you know what? I got an opportunity, you know, because I grew up in that area, so I got a chance. I drove by the site, man. I posted it on Facebook, on my Facebook page, man. I posted the mural that they had up for the little baby, man. I got real emotional, you know, because anytime, you know, you can pump 5 shots into a little child, you know, you're a danger. You're a serious danger to society. So, you know, I know we have a lot of ills going on and things are happening, but, you know, I think we always have to keep things in perspective. You know, but I'm glad you all are addressing it. D Rose has stepped up on a couple of occasions actually and paid for people's funerals, man. And I know some people have been critical of him, but you know the fact that he's doing it, he's from a lot of those areas that's similar.
Right.
You know, but right. Chicago, we are having some issues, and I'm gonna tell you all real quick. Part of the problem is because they've cut down the gang structure. So what you have now is a lot of youngsters running around with no leadership. Right. Yeah.
So they
a point where,
basically gangbanging and don't even know the rules of it.
I mean, you have gangs fighting each other. It's all independence now. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
You have, you know, guys in the same gangs killing each other. It's crazy.
Exactly. So that's what's happening in all the drug deals, because it used to be consequences. If you shot certain people, you know, there were repercussions, even though that's a serious ill. But that's a big problem right now. And so, you know, for that little baby to get shot, but what Derrick Rose did should be applauded. And, you know, I just wanted to address it because I had a show about it yesterday, man, and I got a lot of responses from people.
I tuned in for that. I listened yesterday.
Yeah, it was real dear to my heart, man, because when I went by there, I kind of, like, broke down, you know, because seeing that this is where this baby got shot. But big shots to you all, man. I want to say congratulations. There aren't many podcasts that I listen to. I'm just going to be real honest with you guys. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, maybe a couple. I might listen to a few on ESPN, but I think you guys have one of the best podcasts going right now, man.
Shucks, man.
Oh, man.
You guys are sorry. We appreciate that.
Thank you so much, man.
And your War Room TV is hilarious. So, you know, one of these days, I'm
going to
have
to. We got to get you on there, Jeff.
You got to get me on there because I was watching, man. I was sitting back just kind of just laughing at y'all, man. It was crazy. So, and I had my little shorties listening. They was like, who are those guys? Don't worry about it. It was crazy.
Hey, we got to check that football schedule this year, see if we can find something to make some bets on again.
Hey, what you think about your Bears, man? Before we get you off, what do you think about your Bears?
Well, you know what? We've made some decent – I don't care too much for Martellus Bennett. You know, Jamar and Bershaw, you know, we made him the highest paid lineman in NFL history. So I don't know, you know, how this is going to pan out. I think our defense is going to suffer because, you know, we're going to lose some pieces. Brian Urlach and Nick Roach, a couple of linebackers. We got some younger guys coming up. So we'll see, man. I'm looking forward to it, you know, see what happens. But I'm more looking forward to that new Eagles offense with this coach, man. Because you know what? You all should have got Lovie Smith as your coach.
You think we're cool.
For what?
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we got our guests waiting on the line. We'll get back. We'll talk about that. We'll be in touch, Jeff.
No problem. Take it easy.
Be awesome. Crazy. All right, Jim.
Damn, blowing up. How about the phones? It's blowing up. Before I get our guests on, just tell everybody briefly how to get in touch with us, and I'll be on the
phone. I got it, Jeff. Go ahead.
No, because I'm going to condense it because we're late. Check out our website, warroomsports.com. While you're there, sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. If you want to talk to us, send us a message to info@warroomsports.com. While you're on the site, click on the memorabilia tab. Make sure you buy some stuff from our little War Room Sports store. Click on the blog tab to read our blogs. Make sure you like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and download our free War Room Sports mobile app. While you're listening to the show tonight, make sure you join the JW Philly Realty chat room. That's at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can go in through your Facebook or your Twitter accounts. While you're at it, click follow to make us your favorite Blog Talk Radio show and get reminders about the show. If you want to call in and talk to us anytime while we're on the air right now, you can call the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Just press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. And like JT just said, make sure y'all get on WarroomSportsTV.com and check out all the video content that we pump out on a daily basis.
Yeah, we go Hamuel Rothstein over there. But now let's talk a little college football. Our guest, Fred Perdue, is from Heavy in the Games. They also are on Blog Talk Radio.
I don't see his name.
They have a show. Let me see where Fred is. Is he on there, Dev?
I don't see him.
Yeah, he's there. I have him. Okay, so we're going to bring him on to talk a little bit about some college football. He's from Heavy in the Games, which is also on Blog Talk Radio. I'll let him tell you how to get in touch with him. He's calling from the Lakeland, Tampa, Florida area. So he's the man when it comes to college football. He's a specialist. He knows everything about the SEC, which seems to be dominating college football, and we'll ask him about that. So without further ado, hey, Fred, you there?
What's going on, fellas?
Fred, what's going on, Fred?
What's up, man?
I'm good, man. College football is in the full swing now. We're getting ready to go into spring football, and, you know, that's what I do, man. I know, man.
It's like the NFL is dominating the news cycle with the free agent frenzy. So, you know, we wanted to switch it up on everybody and let them know what was going on the college side of things real quick.
Oh, definitely, man. Spring football is here.
First thing I want to ask you is this. And shout out to DJ Willie G's from Tampa, who just tuned in as well.
The SEC, everybody talks about the SEC and their dominance. Going into spring football, I know you have a chance to see the incoming class. How does the incoming class look in the SEC as opposed to everybody else? I mean, are they going to win another championship? I mean, what's your early look?
Wow. Alabama right now looks like to be the front runner right now. You just can't stop the machine. It's almost like the Colts in the NFL or the Patriots in the NFL. You don't even have a time to rehash. You just keep going. They have new guys coming in where they just replace the best offensive line in college football. They're sending off three guys into the NFL, and they're still chugging along. You lose a Mark Ingram. You bring in Trent Richardson. You lose Trent Richardson. You bring in Eddie Lacy. You lose Eddie Lacy. You bring in C.J. Yeldon and a newcomer by the name of Derrick Henry, who is out of the Yulee, northern Florida area, who is about 6'3", 240 pounds. If you think of a guy like a Brandon Jacobs, think of that kind of an athlete who can move. And he runs a little stiff, he runs a little high, may play a couple of different positions, but he's a force. I got to see a game of his against Fred Taylor's son, Kelvin Taylor, who's actually committed to the University of Florida. And he scored 6 touchdowns by himself. He looked like a man amongst boys, and he just completely dominated.
Let me ask you a question, because I was reading an article in Forbes magazine, and they said that Nick Saban is the most powerful coach in sports, and that he has the ability to have an unprecedented streak. Where does he rank in terms of all-time coach with the program he's been able to build in Alabama and also with what he has already done in the past in college football? I mean, is he starting to, like, you know, get in the realm of being, you know, one of the greatest coaches, like a Bear Bryant type? Is he there yet?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely there. He's the only coach in college football to ever win 2 national titles with 2 different schools in the same conference. Obviously winning a national title at LSU in the early 2000s and also now winning 3 national titles at Alabama. He is on the Mount Rushmore of college coaches. He has possibly surpassed Bear Bryant. The one thing I do have to say is he
– whoa.
Hey, I'm not saying I disagree with you.
I'm not disagreeing either.
That.
That's a major statement.
That's a major statement.
That is a major statement. That is a major statement. And the thing is with him is that he comes from that Bill Belichick tree. If you look at throughout college football and the NFL, you have Bill Belichick, you have Eric Mangini, you have guys like Charlie Weiss who cannot produce a defense but can produce a quarterback. You have guys like a Romeo Crennel. Those guys come from Bill Belichick. And then there was Nick Saban, who produced a Will Muschamp at Florida, who was at Texas as the defensive coordinator and head coach in waiting before Florida offered him the whole state of Florida. And then you also have Jimbo Fisher, another guy who came from under Nick Saban, who was also at LSU while Nick Saban was at LSU, and they both went to the Dolphins with him when he went to the Dolphins for his short period of time, and many criticized Nick Saban for that. But he actually didn't have too bad of a run. He just, in actually being able to meet Nick Saban, in talking with him for a minute, he's one of those guys, he doesn't really deal with entitled, overpaid athletes. He wants to build character. And that is the type of guy he is. I had a chance to meet him down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, earlier in January. And he's not what you expect. He's not the guy you see on camera who likes to really mess with you. He likes to he's a very humble guy. He's a very hard worker. He's one of those type of guys that you want to really go to war with.
Yeah, and for those who are just tuning in, we're on the line with Fred from Heavy in the Game Sports on Blog Talk Radio. He's a college football expert. I guess the next question we all want to know is about Notre Dame. Everybody's seen what happened with Manti Te'o, or however you pronounce it. Austin calls him, what you call him, Austin?
Manti.
He calls him everything.
Yeah, he calls him everything. He got me calling him everything. We've seen what happened with Manti, and we also seen how they got dominated in the championship game. So where do they go from here in terms of their program?
Well, this team, and actually that's a good question because I actually had a guy, a beat writer from Football Nation, Kyle O'Connor, come on my show earlier today and talk Notre Dame football. He dropped a little knowledge on me. Notre Dame is really going in the right direction. They had one of the top recruiting classes in the country, and they're recruiting like SEC teams are now. You want to bring in those big, strong, they call them country strong down here in the South, and you want those type of guys. You want a guy like a Prince Shimbo. You want a guy like a Stephon Tuitt, a Lewis Nix, even an Aaron Lynch who decided to transfer to the University of South Florida, go Bulls, as a student there. But you want to have those type of guys up front on the defensive line, because that is what caused Notre Dame to lose that game as badly as they did. They did not have the offensive and defensive line play, which is what really separates the SEC from everyone else. Everybody has athletes. Everyone,
you know, it's funny.
It
seems so simple, because when you look at every level of football, we just talked about that before you got on talking about the Eagles draft. It's like the offensive and defensive line wins no matter what level of football you're playing at.
Definitely. The offensive and defensive line is something that and is something that really matters in college football. Actually having a chance again to go down to the Senior Bowl and see some of these guys up close and personal, getting to meet DJ Fluker, who was at the time 6'6", 355 pounds, and he looked like he was chiseled out of rock. Seeing guys like a Larry Warford out of Kentucky. And you say, Kentucky? No, they don't produce football players. They produce basketball players. And they only produce freshman basketball players. No, Larry Warford is a guy that you'll really want to look forward to going into the NFL draft. He's one of the top guards coming out. He's a very big but very nimble guy to be 325 pounds. He looks like a bowling ball, but he can hit. He will hit you, and he can move. Looking at a guy like a Chance Warmack, who – we may have two guards going in the first top 10 of this draft, and that's very unprecedented. That's never happened but once in history, and that can possibly happen. Chance Warmack was everything I expected coming out of college, and Alabama, that's what really separates them. You also have guys that come out of the other schools like LSU and Texas A&M, Jake Matthews, who's still at Texas A&M at tackle. He's one of the best tackles, decided to come back for his senior year. Had he come out, he might have possibly fell to the third or fourth tackle coming out. You have guys like Dallas Thomas, who can play every position on the offensive line and still possibly go down as far as a third or fourth round pick. The SEC is just littered with great offensive linemen, and I haven't even gotten to the Mississippi States of the world, the lower-tier division schools like Auburn, who has completely fallen off the face of the earth since Cam Newton's departure.
I have a question pertaining to Arkansas. How will Arkansas's offense change under Brett Bielema?
Well, Brett Bielema is one of those guys. He's a Wisconsin guy, but I think he's going to bring in that tough – smash mouth football, but he's going to have to throw the football. The SEC is a lot like the Big Ten, where the Big Ten is kind of going towards a lot of spread, and the SEC is too, but they're still running the ball. A lot of
right.
When you hear the word spread, you think throwing the ball around a lot, like a Texas Tech or a Texas A&M or a Texas. Well, if you go back and look at the tape, you see a team like an Auburn under Gus Malzahn when they had Cam Newton. They ran the ball a lot. You see teams like Florida when they had Urban Meyer. Tebow ran the ball a lot. And you see a lot of this spread running game. It's more like an option offense, like that old triple option. It's just basically in the shotgun. They call it the inverted triple option. And it's a lot of the zone read stuff we are seeing now in the NFL, which I don't think will last too long once we coordinators catch on to it. But the offensive and defensive line play is where it starts, and then you have to have a big, strong quarterback to be able to take that pounding. A guy like a Johnny Manziel, he may not be able to take that pounding in the SEC much longer.
Are there any teams out there that we should watch out for this year, maybe any dark horse teams?
In the SEC, a dark horse team for me would possibly be Georgia. Georgia lost a lot on defense, but offensively, their quarterback Aaron Murray is poised to break every single passing record in the conference. Florida, if their quarterback Jeff Driskel, who possibly could leave after 3 years after having if he has a good season this year, Florida could be a definite dark horse. But the two teams that I think will possibly have good years. Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, you don't think of as a football school, and I don't think they'll win a national title, or I don't even think they'll win a conference title. But when you jump from a team that is 6-6 or 4-8 to a team that wins 8 or 9 games, you have a team that is a success. Also, a team like a Ole Miss who has the number one player overall in the country in Robert Kendiche, who his brother the year before playing defensive back helped recruit his brother, who Kendiche decided to ultimately possibly go to Clemson before decommitting and then looking at LSU and Alabama, and neither school could bring him in. Ole Miss, little Ole Miss brought him in, and you consequently you get guys like a Robert Tunsil coming in, the number one wide receiver in the country. Ole Miss racked up really well with their recruits, and I don't expect those guys to be instant impact players like in Florida when they had Percy Harvin and Tim Tebow. But going into their second and third years, these guys could be very special. And they could really make a difference in the SEC West.
Absolutely. Fred, let me ask you a question. Before we get you out of here and let everybody know how to get in contact with you, I have to ask you one question outside of college football. Because we know you're in the Tampa area. We have a huge Buccaneers fan who's a fan of the War Room. He's listening in now. What are they saying about the Buccaneers in terms of the move they're making? Are they looking up at all, or what's going on down there with Tampa Bay?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are looking at Darrelle Revis, and I personally feel that I would not touch Darrelle Revis with a 10-foot pole coming out of a major knee injury, wanting a new contract every 2 years. I don't want that kind of a headache. I'll find someone up. I'll draft someone up. He's a healthy guy. He's the best corner in the league. But I don't want to pay my cornerback like my quarterback.
And they want a first round pick every two years. He wants a new contract every half. He put in a good first half. He's trying to get a couple million.
Exactly.
But, you know, that's crazy because it seems like Revis is reads up, like, you know, anytime he feels like Bielsa says. So we'll see what happens with that. Hey, Fred, man, you know more about college football than anybody I know. We got to bring you on again and do this soon.
Definitely, guys, anytime.
Before we get you out of here, let our audience know how they can, you know, contact you online and hear some of your stuff you're reading, listen to your podcast.
You guys can hit us up on Twitter. You can hit me up on Twitter personally at FProduceSports. Or you can hit me up at Heavy in the Games, HEAVYINDAGAMES. That's Heavy in the Games. We have our NFL shows, Blog Talk Radio /Heavy in the Games on Mondays and Wednesdays, and we have our college football shows for all the college fans. We have that on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We have everything you want from recruiting to the NFL draft.
All right.
Hey, Fred, thanks again for your time, man. We will be in touch. We got to do this again, but we appreciate it. Thanks, Fred.
All right, man. Thanks, guys.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. That was Fred Perdue from Heavy in the Game Sports Radio down in Florida.
I thought I was stumping with my question. He just took it in stride.
Fred knows more about college football than anybody I know, man. And it's crazy because college football these days has just become SEC football. Let's call it what it is. Anyway, gentlemen, let's move right along. This has been a great show. Let's keep it going.
We're going to, since Jimmy talked about he ended that with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so we're going to segue right into the NFL because the last 24 to 48 hours have been absolutely bonkers. So NFL Wrap tonight is brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while doing any other thing you want to do at the exact same time. All righty now. Fellas, it's been getting... So you're getting crazy, and we actually talked a lot about this yesterday because we recorded an episode, our first episode of Field Vision. That's our show where we give in-depth NFL analysis, and we do that as a joint venture with Sports Kings. You can catch that on warroomsportstv.com. You can check that out right after the show if you want and see what we had to say about the free agent frenzy. But, you know, we're going to talk about it again today. here in the war room because we have, you know, all of our guys intact. So let's get right into this. Let's talk about the cuts first. We'll go cuts, trades, and then the signings and people who are still unsigned, like the Darrell Revises of the world. NFL cuts. I want to know if this was a surprising thing to you guys, but Ryan Fitzpatrick was cut from the Buffalo Bills. Ryan Fitzpatrick was released yesterday, and he was on the book this season for $10 million. You know, seasons ago, midway through the season, he got that $59 deal. He's seen about $21 million from it. What are you guys' thoughts on Ryan Fitzpatrick? Was he that bad that he had to go, or was it a thing where he may not have been that bad, but he just wasn't worth what they had to pay him? Because you have to remember, right now where we stand, Tavares Jackson will be their starting quarterback, so you have to.
That's why I'm shocked. I'm shocked they didn't make a move at Castle because of what you just said. I just said, okay, at least the Bills are trying to pick up Castle, but, you know, he got swooped up already, and we'll get into that. But how can you go into the season with Tavares Jackson as your quarterback? Just answer me that. How can you look your fans in the face and say, you know what, we're going to make a run for it this year with Tavares Jackson? You can't do that. And
well, they have the eighth pick in the draft. I was just wondering if
any of these quarterbacks in the draft
was worth an eighth pick.
I don't think so, personally, but at the end of the day, you know how it is. Quarterbacks always shoot up, and someone's willing to take a chance because if you just so happen to get a franchise quarterback, you know, you really can't put a price tag on that unless you're Joe Flacco. But it's like you really can't put a price tag on that because they win games, and everybody wants a quarterback. There's only so many good quarterbacks in the league, so I think they're going to reach up. I think they're going to make a mistake. That's just my personal opinion. They're going to reach up and take a quarterback, and at the end of the day, I'm just glad I'm not a Buffalo Bills fan.
Yeah, right now they're thinking that replacement in the draft might end up being Geno Smith. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that and see if that comes to fruition.
From what I'm hearing in Philly, the Eagles are really, really on Geno Smith's heels. So, yeah, he may be taken fourth. So it ain't even anybody that's worth being. There's nobody worth being picked eighth. We might be as retarded as to pick him fourth because they said they actually took Jeffrey Lurie down there with him.
With 10 quarterbacks.
Okay.
That's what I'm about to say. He already got five.
Hey. Yeah, no, they said they actually took Jeffrey Lurie to his pro day today or whenever it was, either today or yesterday, which is very rare that they would ever do. So,
And they had private workout
with him, too.
Yeah. What I'm thinking is they probably took the owner because if you take another quarterback with the best pick that the Eagles have had in years, you really have to have everybody sign off on that. You know what I mean? So it's like, let's take the whole crew down here. And I can kind of see why. Because he's not really the type of owner who's meddlesome, who gets in the middle of football decisions. But I can see, you know, with all the quarterbacks all that you're paying, if you're going to take another one with the fourth pick in the draft, it's like
AP
training camp. Their quarterback stable is going to look like running backs.
Yo, TJ, you think they're going to put them all on the field at the same time and run some kind of trickery? Or you think
they might take all the offensive linemen off and just have quarterbacks lined up front?
Or they're going to start playing like baseball and have like a bullpen. You just bring guys in like, you know, middle of the game.
They have to play.
They're going to do that, but then just call a dive play to Shady McCoy.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of Philly, PJ, Nnamdi Asamoah was one of the big cuts that happened in the last day or so. He was scheduled to make $15 million this season, $4 million of it guaranteed. The Eagles cut him. Looked like the 49ers may be interested, and it also looked like he may be interested in them. PJ, being an Eagles fan, what do you think about them releasing him, especially with the money that he was being owed? And what do you think about, you know, him possibly going to, you know, another team? I'm not going to say that you're a fan of, but a team that you, you know.
Yeah, see,
like.
my favorite non-Philly team. Yeah, well, when we cut him, I danced the Irish jig because I was happy to see him go because I feel like he personally offended me. I was wrong for thinking that I overrated him. And I think the system didn't help him either. And the system he was in didn't help him. So when we cut him, I guess he still got his $4 million that was guaranteed to him. But I mean, the other 11, we I guess can put in other places. So I was happy to see him go. The cornerbacks that they picked up, though, like they picked up the guy Kerry Williams from Baltimore. Right. I don't even know about him because I've seen him, and to me, I've seen quarterbacks go at him. So
decent,
I don't know. We'll see.
Decent corner, but if there's one thing that he will do is nut up and give up the big play.
Well,
yeah.
So we
I
don't
think with 92 going to the Niners. With Namdi at the Niners, I don't know. They might be, because they have a better defense, they may be able to play. Yeah. He may be able to fit in better with them because they may be, you know, they're not that reliant on him looking like, oh, this is the best guy on the defense. So
we'll
see.
CJ said that the
system didn't help him. Neither did his safety. Go ahead, B.O.
I was just about to get to the safety help. I mean, it's easy to poop on Namdi because of his hairline and because he was a little weird. He ate away from the team. He sat in the car. Boy, had a lot of quirks. He was a quirky dude for some of you that weren't really tuned in to the Eagles' defensive implosions this year. And because he was signed for so much money, every time a pass play happened for a big game, the camera found Namdi, whether he was on the field or off. They just panned in on Namdi, and it was his fault. But a lot of those
plays.
Well,
he wasn't picked on that bad. I mean, he come on in.
Well, no, no.
I think some
of
that was just, though.
A lot of those. Nah, not if you look at the safeties, man. Kirk Coleman.
It was never a time
Nate
when
Allen.
He was sitting on the bench and then a pass play happened and
Nate, the camera came down.
I was being facetious.
Hey,
go ahead, my boy. I cut
Nate
you off.
Nate Allen and your boy Kirk Coleman were back there playing. They were playing marbles, basically, instead of covering. So a lot of times when Namdi thought he had safety help, them boys was already beat.
Yeah, I don't think the cameras found him, but when a pass play goes off on your side, whether it's your fault or not, the camera's gonna put that lonely
thing
on the screen by yourself looking soft.
Listen, though.
Now
all I know is all the blown coverages was on Namdi's side. So I don't know why that is. I don't know if that anything. I don't know. All I'm saying is I think my man Cromartie just got beat. When it was on Namdi's side, it was blown coverage,
thing.
Or he threw his hands up and started doing high. Go ahead.
What I was saying is, how I see it is this. I just don't understand. I mean, you know, in sports, as a coach, you're supposed to put your players in the best position to make plays. The Eagles played a lot of zone, which is not Namdi's strength. He's more of a man-to-man corner. But they got rid
Bump
of the
run.
Best zone corner. They got rid of the best zone corner to start playing more zone. That doesn't make any sense to me. You get rid of Asante Samuel, who's the best corner in the game, in my opinion, in terms of playing zone, and you bring in a guy who's good at bump and run, and you start to play zone.
Now, maybe, Jim, they were thinking that since they got this cornerback, who when he came here, he was supposed to be one of either the best or second best cornerback in the league, that he'd be able to play. They didn't have to make the defense fit him. That he could, like, say, for instance, Revis at the time.
Right.
If Revis was to come, I doubt if you would say that Revis can't play zone or he can't play man.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got it. You know what I'm saying? So maybe they were thinking that he was talented enough to adapt to what fit the rest of the team. I don't – maybe they were thinking that.
Well, they were wrong.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's why everybody – I mean –
They were wrong.
They were wrong.
In zone, you need a high IQ – You need a high IQ player who understands how that zone and how the
he went
how
to
the
Kyle
movements
Berkeley.
Work. When you when
that's
you're in
cool.
when you're in bump and
cool,
run, all you need is this. That's all you need in bump and run.
But you know what?
Bump and run is not fault intensive.
You're right.
Yeah. I mean, it's a situation where I bet money that if he signs with San Francisco, he's gonna go over there and look like the old Namdi again. Eagles fans are going, you know, throw trash cans out in the city and
Austin.
I mean, and there may be a situation because he's going to go there. He's going to get help. They have a pass rush, you know, for one. So you're not going to expect Namdi to be Superman. So
I just want to make one last point. I want to make one last point about what Austin said, that a lot of it was the help he got on the safeties. I agree with that, except for one thing. When they played the Giants and Victor Cruz consumer rate, well, Victor Cruz took advantage of him, yo. Victor Cruz went to work on Namdi.
Victor Cruz rolled on him just by himself. He rolled on him.
He got jumped.
He got stomped. Victor Cruz is stomping him.
Yeah. That had nothing to do with the safeties. That was just Victor Cruz looking him in the eyes and like, yo, I'm better than you.
Yeah. He said, I'm about to salsa right now.
Well, note to
said, you about
San Francisco.
To thing, you know,
San Francisco is like, note to self, don't put Nnamdi on the slot receiver.
Oh, no, there was a couple. There was definitely a couple. Victor Cruz got him. Torrey Smith got him. And Calvin Johnson got him.
Wow.
I mean, that's not saying.
Well,
Calvin
you
Johnson,
know what? Because the funny thing is, Calvin Johnson ended up with monster numbers that game, but I actually thought that was a pretty good game for Nnamdi because, you know, Calvin Johnson gets his for 60 minutes. And he actually held Calvin Johnson down into the second half. And in the second half, in a game where you're trailing, is where Stafford start to force everything they do to Calvin Johnson anyway. So he's going to get his regardless. I actually thought he played a good game against Johnson. That's just me. I might be.
Now, I can't comment on that because I wasn't here when they played them. Missed that game.
Yeah. Like, if you hear what I'm saying, PJ, and then you go look at Calvin Johnson's numbers, you're going to think I need to, you know, go to the nut house. But it was one of them joints where you had to see the game, like, because
yeah.
Calvin Johnson, he had a couple of big plays late because, you know, Stafford, when they're in comeback mode, nobody else is even getting the ball. And after a while,
comeback mode. How about when they're in the
field?
You
just can't stop that dude. No, but that's what I'm saying. This game, he was going to him, but Nnamdi was doing a pretty good job. But it got to a point, if you're going to keep throwing
to this
dude,
there's
nothing you're
going to
be able to do.
I agree with you. I'm just being smart.
Yeah, nobody can
guard
that
dude,
man.
I just know when it came to Victor Cruz, that's a whole different story, though.
He was too quick for him, too shifty.
Victor Cruz, he's Victor Cruz's woman. That's all I got to say about that.
Calvin Johnson just boxing dudes out. Like, just throw me the ball, man. All right, so those were some of the notable cuts. Of course, Matt Castle got cut. Bernard Pollard got cut. Matt Castle actually got a job 5 minutes later in Minnesota. So he's the backup in Minnesota for now. If Christian Ponder has another season like he had last year, maybe some changes made up in Viking land. So let's talk about some of the big signings. The first big shoe to drop the other day was Mike Wallace, former receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Wallace signs with the Dolphins 5 years, $60 million, $30 million in guarantees. Is that steep for a receiver who, generally speaking, is, you know, what we like to call a one-trick pony? You know, he goes deep, stretches the field, $30 million in guarantees? What do you guys think about that one?
That was ridiculous. And if you look at the trend in his numbers, two things stand out to me. Three things. His catches are dropping. His yardage dropped.
And he's dropping.
But more, he's dropping the ball. So there's actually a fourth. The per yards per catch has dropped. He was a league high, something like 23 yards per catch. Last season, he was 13 yards per catch. He's only 25. He'll probably have a resurgence, but I think it's clear that he's not a $30 million guaranteed guy. Not yet. He hasn't earned it. So now you're paying for
some of the stuff that you said that might be like something that you can raise a red flag for, but I don't sweat the yards per catch too much because if everybody knows that his primary strength, maybe his only strength is going deep, they're going to try to take that away. So you're not going to, you know,
that's
not
going to
be as easy as it used to be.
Learn some other routes on your route tree. Learn to diversify your game.
Well,
run underneath.
He went 13 yards a catch, so he must have been doing something else. I don't know. That's just something that doesn't. I don't know. I'm just not too alarmed.
I've watched
by
him.
That.
The eye
some,
test,
you know, of course,
eye
dropping passes.
Me,
you're alarmed by
over,
that.
The eye test tells me they overpaid.
Oh no, no, I think he's overpaid as well. I was just saying, out of your 4 points, that's the only one that I wouldn't be alarmed about.
Here's the way I'm looking at this, and me and Austin had debated about this yesterday on Warman Sports TV. So go check that out. I understand why
vision.
The Dolphins have several receivers who you know, run underneath routes. They have no one to stretch the field. The only way that we're going to get this guy is to overpay. And it's kind of like they're going all out. They're mortgaging the future because not only are they paying him that, but his cap number in 2013 is like only 3.25, but it's 17.25 in 2014. That's what he is on their cap. So what they're doing is they're kind of going all out. Like, listen, They believe in their young quarterback. They think they have a solid defense. Now, whether you guys agree with that or not, it's a whole different story.
Jimmy, but they're not someone... 2 years out of a Super Bowl, though.
I'm not – well, in the NFL, you never know, man. Stranger things have happened. But what I'm saying is this. If they're looking for someone to do exactly what he does. Everybody says he's a one-trick pony, but that's the trick they're looking for. They're looking for someone to stretch the field. They have several receivers that can run.
I get that, Jim. I just don't think.
And that's the only way they were going to
pay that much money.
That kind of money.
I mean, they have no receivers at all. So, I mean, he is like all they got at the receiver position.
No,
they've
been balling. A little bit.
Yeah, their receivers have been playing well. Hartline and what's the other dude's name?
Hartline and Devon Best.
Yeah,
Devon Best.
A little bit. TJ, they so garbage
great,
you don't hear
but...
about them as a team.
I don't know. I guess I haven't seen them toward the end of the season, but in the beginning of the season, I didn't see too much out of their receivers. But
I think that
might have
been more of the growing pains from Tannehill because he got better as the season went on. But no, this is a good pickup as far as. You know, what they can do together because he has a quarterback with a strong arm, so he can get him the ball. You know, my main concern is the money, but, hey, I'm not a Dolphins fan. I'm not really spending their money. I'm just giving my 2 cents, but they can do what they want because it doesn't
matter. And also,
me.
To your point, also in our chat room, Casey Mack says that one of the reasons his number went down is because Big Ben was out. So when Big Ben went out, his numbers went, like, you know, nowhere. Now, again, he's going to Miami, and he's not playing with Big Ben.
And then what's the name only lasted for like one drive.
One drive. Then he hurt himself.
And then it was Charlie Batch who can't throw anymore. So
did he like injure himself or something?
Yeah, because the longest 30-yard run I've ever seen in my life because Byron Leftwich is so slow. It took him like 29 seconds to get into the end zone on a 30-yard run. And then, you know, he hurt himself during the run and the celebration. And Charlie Batch came in and played the worst football of his life for the first game.
And then cried.
Because remember, somebody was hype. I think it was Austin. B. Austin was hype. Like, Charlie Batch going to keep the ship moving. Charlie Batch is nice. And he embarrassed him.
Charlie came in and played like a Batch. a Batch.
Yeah,
his arm was caramel.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so
he was auditioning to play Chad Pennington's stunt double.
Well, that was the first big signing. Let me go back to some trades because there were two trades, and they both involve receivers as well. Percy Harvin was traded to Seattle, and Anquan Boldin was traded to San Francisco for a six-rounder. Now, we knew San Francisco was going to start leveraging those 15 draft picks to get some veterans in the mix as well. You know, like we said, they're looking at Nnamdi. They picked up Anquan Boldin, which I think is a great pickup for those guys. What do you guys think about Anquan Boldin joining the fold with the 49ers? And, PJ, let me ask you this, because this was the conspiracy theory going around on our Facebook forum yesterday. People were saying it was kind of strange that, you know, the Harbaugh brother was helping out the other brother by sending him Anquan Boldin. What do you think about that kind of stuff? Do you think it's a little bit
fishy?
I don't think so. I mean, if any players were to go back and forth between the two, then you could always entertain that conspiracy theory. I don't think so. I don't think that's what the case was. Anquan, they wanted to get him to a contender. And, I mean, like you said, San Fran has the draft picks that they can leverage. I was surprised that it was only a six-round pick, though, for him. And that's all it was, right?
You know what, PJ? Just about people saying that kind of stuff, I think that is, like, so disrespectful to Ozzie Newsome. You know, he's such a good GM. Like, do you really think that his primary concern is to nurture sibling relations and make sure, you know, you just beat your brother in the Super Bowl. Let's give him a gift. Like, everybody's saying that. That makes
trade situation with Anquan boils down to this. When they signed the contract to bring him there, his cap number for next year was
$8 million.
They sat down with Anquan Boldin, who is 33 years old, has a lot of mileage on him, is still very productive, is still a great locker room guy. It's still a lot of the things you want on a team, But they said, Anquan, you are not an $8 million per season guy at 33 anymore. Can you take a pay cut? Can you stretch this $8 million out? Can you do something? Anquan said, look, man, football, I'm in dog years. I'm 107, and I need all my money. So I'm not taking no pay cut.
Anquan said, look, I could have been the MVP of the Super Bowl for real.
Right.
Because
so
in the playoffs,
and I could be asking y'all for more money right now.
Exactly. He could have went T.O. on them and been like, look, y'all saw what I did in that Super Bowl and in the playoff run. I got vice grips on my elbows.
Now, as far as the sixth-round pick goes, I think Baltimore is satisfied with that strictly because they were at a point where they were going to have to release him anyway. So, you know, instead of release him, at least get a draft pick. You know, even if they don't end up using that draft pick, it could be a pick that's packaged to get somebody because Baltimore needs some talent right now because a lot of people are leaving the team. You know, Ray Lewis retired. Ed Reed is being flown down to Houston right now as we speak on a private jet to
him
talk
and his
to those
Afro.
Guys. They let Pollard go. You know, they let Bolden go. Yeah. So they need as many.
I don't understand what they're doing. I don't understand what they're doing. I give Ozzie Newsome
it's a rebuild thing. You know why I do understand a little bit, B. Austin? Because before the season started, everybody and their mama said, either the window might have been shut on Baltimore or this might be their last chance.
Right.
They took their last chance and they did well with it. So if people were thinking that before the season, then what changes?
I feel that it was based on Ray Lewis's age and to a lesser degree Ed Reed's age. But let me look at the pieces that there are vacating. Paul Kruger is not old in his prime. Darnell Ellerbe, not old in his prime. Pollard, I've been tough on Pollard through the years, but if you can say the bad, you can say the good. He balled like I didn't believe he was capable of balling.
He's a snot
for them. Yeah, I mean, well, my whole thing, he's always been that, but he can't cover his kids with a blanket if you give it to him.
Breaking news, the Falcons got Steven Jackson.
Yeah.
A couple things about this.
He got a new person to choke with.
a couple things about this situation. The first thing is this. I found it interesting him going to the 49ers, that's going back to Bolden, because Mario Manningham straight took a pay cut to make everything work and to allow him to sign free agents and also bring in Bolden. Mm-hmm. And not only did he take a pay cut, Mario Manningham cut his pay from $3.6 million to $1.8 million. He took half the bread.
In half?
This is his last season on the contract, which means that I don't know, like, you know, maybe they're hooking him up under the table or something. But anyway.
No, that's going to work. That's going to work out for them, though, Jimmy.
San Fran is on their retool right now.
It's going to work out for San Fran. I'm not talking about San Fran. It's always going to work out for them. I'm talking about Mario Manningham.
Well, Mario, I mean, Mario be all right. Mario be
no,
all right.
No, but I'm
He's
saying,
gonna fight
I'm, the reason I said
spot.
That, Jim, that they're retooling because, like you said, that, like, they're kind of, like, they have good pieces, and they're still bringing in dudes and chumping people for their positions. Like, they have a good defensive backfield.
They're keeping it competitive.
And they're still looking
they're
at Nnamdi. And they're still in the Darrell Revis rumors. And,
no,
you know,
they're Golson is gone. You know that. Golson is gone, and I'll take you over Dante Whitner.
All right, now. The other thing is
Carlos
Rodgers,
what's up with him? Is he still signed with the Niners?
Who?
Carlos Rodgers.
Yeah, he's on. Carlos Golston went and signed in Tampa. Dante Whitner is the slowest safety in the world, and the guy on the other side is a bum. So they need to replace. They need to put somebody on the other side of Carlos, and they need to replace Golston. And that's
my
not,
other part. My
Golston.
Other part was the Baltimore thing. In terms of what they're doing, because I was looking at this too. Austin, the first thought I had was, listen, they're going to Florida Marlins style. And they were going to win the championship and do everything. But then the more I looked at it, I think that they're going to have a complete paradigm shift in terms of what the Baltimore Ravens even mean. We've only
they're
known
gonna
them.
They're
going
to try and ride on Flacco's arm.
Trying to get young. And they're trying to get off.
They're
going to
get young, and they're going to be an offensive team. They don't care about losing those guys on defense because, you know, Ray Lewis has been there since they moved to Baltimore, right? So that's all we know.
Like the original Raven.
He's like the original Ravens. Him and John Tanagan were their first two. So it's like, Now we're going to have a complete shift. We're going to become an offensive team. We're going to invest money in offense. They're going to stockpile draft picks.
College
and some of those guys, they're just going to let them go, and they're going to rebuild from there. You know, so at the end of the day, I give Ozzie Newsome the benefit of the doubt just because he is indeed Ozzie Newsome. If this was anybody else doing this, I probably would look at him sideways, but you have to give him the benefit of the doubt. Because
yo, they just gave Joe Flacco all that money. They gave Joe all that money, took away his defense, and said, we are going to throw the ball Andy Reid style.
They actually took away his best weapon, in my opinion, too. Like, I mean, Torrey Smith is the big play guy. Anquan Boldin is the guy that you can throw the ball to when he's not even open.
Listen, he makes Flacco look good. It's funny that you bring up Torrey Smith. PJ, I know you haven't had an opportunity to really see him in his collegiate years, but I would have bet dollars to donuts that he would have been working for us as an intern versus being in the NFL. Yo, he was terrible at math. He was worse than Darius Hayward Bay.
He's another gangbanger with speed.
So did he come up at the combine or something?
Yo, he put the work in, though. I don't know.
He's fast as hell. I mean, I think when he drafted, he was just still the dude. You know how they draft on speed, but he's definitely worked on his game.
Yo,
like,
he has gotten so much better. He's like another dude. He's like another human being.
Some of those things aren't just him running by you. You know, he's starting to route a little better. So if you can route and you're fast, how much more dangerous does that make you?
Then you're Marvin Harrison.
Here's the thing, though. It's you guys have to give him credit for one, for working on his game, but Joe Flacco is now sitting on a Super Bowl championship, a bag of money, and now they're going to let him just pump his stats up. Now he's going to pump his stats up. He's going to end up with a pretty good career because he got that one championship. That's all you need. They'll excuse any mistake he makes from here on out.
He could be Brett Favre from now on.
Exactly. He could just
that would make him a Hall of Famer.
All they're going to talk about is that playoff run. 11 touchdowns and no interceptions.
The former Reggie Kardashian, he's back to Reggie Bush, he joined the Detroit Lions. And I think it was a pretty good deal for the Lions because his deal is only 4 years, $16 million. So they're not too much on the hook for Reggie Bush. And I think he adds a dimension to that team that could be really useful. He actually looked at the film before he made a decision of where he wanted to go, which I applaud that. You know, how many people do y'all think sit around and watch film when they're a free agent? You know, they're just looking for the biggest payday. But he watched film and realized that his skill set fits the most with the Detroit Lions because, first of all, the safeties are playing 25 yards
100
off the
yards
line because of Megatron. So he feels that he can go take some pressure off of Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford. And just think about it. If they're playing that far back, not even just in a running game, running game, draw plays, stuff like that, but just Reggie Bush catching little dump-offs out of the backfield, Detroit can kill people with that if Stafford would look at another receiver.
Reggie Bush might get 1,200 yards this year just on draw plays because he is never – going to have more than six people in the box with Megatron.
I got him more so than the rushing yards. I got Reggie Bush at like 850 yards receiving.
Passing, definitely.
He's going to have a nice year from scrimmage, period. So
he wasn't watching no film, but let's keep it real. He was playing Madden and realized that.
No, he was watching that. He might have been getting motivated and angry and watching that film.
Ray J. Shout out to Ray J.
I know.
I had one wish. No, but seriously, he probably was playing Madden.
Sexy Kenna.
Casey Mack asked in the chat room, can he get 1,000 yards rushing and receiving?
I think
he's in the offense where he can do it, but I just don't think
Stafford,
even if they call a screen or some kind of dump off, Stafford is looking for Calvin Johnson. So he's
looking for Calvin Johnson on handoffs.
I think he could. It's very feasible to me that he can.
I'm going with Dev. I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna say he's definitely going to get at least 1,700 yards from scrimmage.
Interesting.
I give him 1,700 yards plus from scrimmage.
Yeah,
which is a great year.
I'll say that. Of course, Wes Welker. went to Jimmy's Denver Broncos. 30 minutes later, they announced that Danny Amendola was picked up by the Patriots to take his place. We all know we're not silly. Jimmy, what were you saying earlier? They had
what
that deal
saying,
done already.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Patriots, and shout out to all the Patriot fans out there, all you liars. They're they want to make themselves look like Wes Welker was the bad guy. Supposedly, they had signed Amendola before Wes Welker even signed it, but they waited to announce it. So after, you know, Wes Welker signed his deal, it's like, okay, we reacted and went and got Amendola because we couldn't work it out with Wes Welker.
But you know why they want to make him look like the bad guy? Because of Tom Brady.
Because
think about it. Tom Brady, even though he got more money, so I don't want to hear all that, but he restructured his contract to make room, specifically for Wes Welker. Remember, they've been playing hardball with Wes Welker for the last two seasons. You know, they threw the tag on him last year, didn't want to re him up. So this season, they lowballed him. They offered him a 2-year deal, $10 million in incentives. So Denver swooped in, gave him 2 years, $12 million. And
yeah,
I think they're trying to make Wes look like the bad guy to pacify Tom Brady, because I know Tom Brady, I heard a report that he's furious that Wes Welker is no longer.
Did the 2 years, $10 million, was that 2-year $10 million deal that they put on the table, is that inclusive of the incentives, or is it a $10 million with salary?
I mean, he's only getting $300 in incentives over 2 years from Denver, though. I mean, $300,000.
No, Denver gave him a real deal. Denver gave him a real deal.
No, but I think their deal was. You're asking, was it up to $10 million with the incentives?
Right.
I think it was a $10 million deal, and they, you know, said whatever else you do would be incentives. But it was obvious to him that, I think it was obvious to Wes, they really don't want me. So even if I was here, they're gonna. You know, just like the beginning of this year, they weren't using Wes Welker like they usually did until Gronk got hurt and they had to. You know what I mean? So, they were hard pressed to make Wes Welker look like the bad guy so they wouldn't have to answer to Tom Brady. But that Danny Amendola deal came down too quick. So like Jimmy says, it seems like they already had that worked out. They figured that Matt Welker was going to decline the low ball deal. And end up going elsewhere.
Welker is 31. I can see both sides of the table on this, and I think the Pats are being a little disingenuous with the way they're moving. But what they figure is he's 31 and he's got a lot of wear and tear, and so they should have just kept it real with him from jump.
Danny Amendola's
always hurt too, though.
You know what? The thing is with that, PJ, they're figuring that Danny Amendola's younger. He's a little bit more athletic, and then they got Julian Edelman who can do the same thing. They got the same player on the roster, and they got Julian Edelman signed for $4.
I'm with you where I can understand why the Patriots would let go of Wes Welker at 31 years old after a few injuries. And there's somebody else out there who can basically do what he can do, maybe not to that production level. But like you said, like, why aren't they keeping it real? Usually the Patriots get rid of their best players and be like, you know, oh, well, this is what we do. The Patriots never care, but now they care because they know Tom Brady is going to be upset with them.
He's going to be
I've
mad.
I've heard several
yeah.
places that he is still pissed, even after Amendola. That didn't pacify him. And they said who is
Amendola? He don't care about Amendola.
No, because they tried to make the same argument you did in terms of age. But according to like the sources, they say that Brady is pissed because they said most of the passes with him and Welker was just a chemistry thing. A lot of the option routes.
Yeah.
And you just can't know that with anyone you throw in there. And that's why he was so pissed, because these guys were in sync.
It's going to take Amendola at least two seasons, if he's even there that long, to get that type of chemistry with Brady, because they don't call routes for Wes Welker. They give him a one option route, and he chooses based on his read.
He'll just run across the field.
All right, well, here's my last thing I want to say about this, though. And shout out to all you Lion Patriot fans, because a couple days ago you guys were telling me we got to sign him back. We needed the chemistry. He's a must-have on the team. He's the cog that makes this team go.
Now he's the cancer of the world.
The minute he signed the deal, we never needed him. He's a cancer. He's a problem in the locker room. Giselle doesn't like him. It was a whole
bunch of their fans are like company.
But you know what? You're cool. You're cool, though. You're cool as a Broncos fan, Jimmy, because he's still a step up on Stokely. And that's no knock to Stokely, but Stokely was playing ball in the 90s.
We still got Stokely.
Y'all still got him?
For now.
Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah.
For now. Denver is loading up, so somebody's going to have to go. Somebody got to
die. Listen, man, there's going to be no excuse, man. We got Stokely.
Not go, you got
Walker.
To go.
Stokely, Welker, you know what I mean? We got them all, man.
Let the gunshots blow.
Stokely, Welker, right, so Decker. That's too many. Never mind.
Thomas. So they like the Peyton, like the son.
Y'all I don't even want to go where y'all going with
y'all
this.
Got some. Y'all got some interesting.
FB Austin at Fort Epiphany at him because he's the one talking this trash.
Yeah, he the one talking about they got a Caucus Mountain receiving corps. But Danny Amendola actually got 5 years, $31 million from the Pats. So they kind of spit in Wes Welker's face a little bit with that, too.
Yeah.
I can understand more years because he's younger. But they still gave him more per year.
More per year.
I heard he broke his wrist just signing a contract. Like,
He got Odom.
Yo, Danny has spent more games on IR than actually playing.
And on the defensive side of the ball, you know, LeRon Landry signed to my Colts. Yeah, y'all heard me say that. Y'all, a lot of people puzzle right now, like, what? Yeah, y'all heard that. My Colts. I think it's a good pickup.
You already know. Dev, tell the truth, because you
seen it. They got two snot-knocking safeties back there now with Landry and young boy from Howard.
Yeah.
Cliff Averill. He signed with Seattle, and DRC, Dominic Rogers Cromartie, another John Elway pickup for the Denver Broncos, who are loading up because they know they have a quarterback who's still good, but on his last leg, they're going for it. Denver is going for it.
Yo, all I got to say is, man,
I'm put the curse on y'all, Jimmy. Dream
in my opinion, yo. John Elway is still the man, in my opinion, yo. He's making it happen again, baby.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I know, right? Like, he come back as management and making it happen. Yo, he putting on a two-minute drive on y'all right
now. Let's go, I know one thing, yo. If we don't win this year, yo, I'm flying out looking for Peyton, B. That's all I'm saying, man.
Yeah. All right, so before we get out of this and talk a little bit of hoops, y'all got any thoughts on Victor Cruz, Darrell Revis, Ed Reed, who's on the plane, Greg Jennings, like the unsigned guys who we know are going to get signed somewhere. The Jets are trying to stick people up with that first-round tender for Darrell Revis. A lot of people are afraid of that, man. He just came off an ACL injury. So
we can run through this real quick. Darrell Revis, I believe, is going to return healthy, and he's trying to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. But he's asking for too much, coupled with the Jets asking for too much.
Right.
Unless
Jets want a first and Revis want to be the highest paid player ever played
in
NFL history.
Yeah. Cruz, that first round tender. I like Cruz. I'm as much of a Cruz fan as you can be, being an actual Eagles fan. I like what he brings to the table. But with a first-round tender, the Giants have basically said we're keeping him because he's not worth a first-rounder.
It was rumors for him, you know, looking at the Patriots, but I guess after they
and
the
Kansas
Amendola
City
move,
and Kansas City, he beat up on Andy Reid enough for Andy to be fine.
Andy's seeing that saucer so much, he's like, man, let me go pick this dude up, man.
Who else is unsigned?
Greg Jennings and Ed Reed, but Ed Reed
Greg
is on
Jennings,
his way to Houston.
Greg Jennings wants $12 million a year. Teddy Pendergrass, FOH.
Did he talk to somebody?
Yeah, he did.
They said he might be close to something with the Vikings.
Yo, how good is Greg Jennings versus the credit that Aaron Rodgers should get for making him look good? I can't tell yet. I mean, I know he's good, but yo, Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball at dude's mouthpiece, yo.
I'll keep it in perspective in terms of dollars. In terms of dollars, PJ, he's a $7 million a year guy, and he wants $12 million a year.
Yeah, I know he's tripping. He's double digits.
The market,
yeah.
I know. You know what though?
Like,
if you think about it, like when Rodgers first, you know, became the starting quarterback, I think Greg Jennings was the only receiver on that team at the time that could have made a name for himself without Aaron Rodgers, and I think he had made a name for himself.
Yeah.
But like PJ said, the way Aaron Rodgers puts the football on these other guys, I think a lot of the other guys on that team are a little overrated.
Yeah.
But, you know, as long as you're catching the
rock. What you saying about Jordy Nelson, man?
Jordy a little, I'm not saying he's not good, but he's a little overrated. James Jones,
James Jones
just learned how to catch this year.
Yo, James Jones is not good.
This is true, but I mean, you got to realize that Greg Jennings also had a 12-touchdown, like close to a 1,000-yard season before Aaron Rodgers played.
That's what I said.
Right.
I think he made a name for himself even before Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, before Rodgers got there.
Now it's just age and injuries. Now it's just age and injuries. So I don't know if he's still that good.
Yeah.
And he looks a little bigger to me. When he came back last season, did he look bigger to y'all?
Yeah. Boy,
no,
he out there looking like Marvin Gaye and whatnot.
He looked slower a little bit to me when he came back off the injury. But
maybe that's what it is. Maybe since he was looking sluggish, I just assumed he was bigger. But it was something about dude.
Not that we're talking about Jermichael Finley, but he is trash.
what does that got to do with anything?
He just wanted to add that in there.
Yo, he is trash.
The boy in the chat room, Casey Mack, says he thinks that he's going to stay in Green Bay.
No.
I would if I was a wide receiver.
He thinks they're going to work it out.
He's
going to go to Christian
happen.
Ponder and get
that's
the pass thrown to him. And in Minnesota?
Even though I say that.
No way. You're saying no way.
Cold as hell.
No way he stays.
I might leave because of brother alone.
I don't think he
stays either because Aaron Rodgers spreads the ball so much
right
now. There's no way they're going to pay him what he wants because they're like, look, man, this dude, everybody's going to get the rock. So everybody's going to look just as good as you. So there's no reason for us to overpay for one.
Why don't you come run with the Broncos for 1 year, dog? You might as well sign you too, yo.
Jerry Lindsay, Elway's assistant.
Yo, man. Elway's
pocket. Elway's wallet.
You tampering, cuz. Nah, yeah, free agent. You can say what you want. All right, man. So that's the free agent frenzy that's going on right now. I'm pretty sure there's stories happening as we speak. We'll get that stuff to you on Facebook, Twitter, War Room Sports TV, and everything. But it's hoop time because Jimmy and his Lakers, they got a 9-1-1 tragedy going on right now. So let's get into that and talk about them. Go ahead, off.
First
and foremost, y'all got
Damn,
to check out the website at warroomsports.com and catch the TV channel at warroomsportstv.com. Right now, call in and speak to us about any of today's topics. Dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline, 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to rap.
No doubt. Screen that. Yo, let's talk about some basketball real fast, gentlemen. The NBA rap is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry, your Palm phone. But if you do happen to have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, you have bigger issues than listening to The War Room. Anyway, the latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Go to our website, warroomsports.com, and click on the Stitcher logo or go to stitcher.com/The War Room, that's one word. When prompted to enter a coupon code, enter The War Room, one word, because it will enter you into a contest to win money, and who doesn't like money? You can possibly win 2 tickets to paradise. Anyway,
2 tickets to paradise.
Whoa. Anyway, the NBA players of the week this past week are Kobe Bryant and Dwayne Wade. Kobe Bean Bryant and Dwayne Wade. Devin, what were their stats?
All right. Dwayne Wade led Miami, if you want to call it that, with Brown on the team. Of course, they were undefeated because they're in the midst of a 20-game winning streak right now. They were 4-0. He averaged 25.3 points, shot 60% from the floor. 5 assists, 4.3 rebounds, and a league-leading 3.5 steals. Had a game-high 32 and 10 assists against the Timberwolves on the 4th of March. Kobe led the Lakers to a 3-1 week. He led the league in scoring at 33 a game, 8.8 assists, 5.8 rebounds, and a steal. He had back-to-back 40-point games. Excuse me. He had back-to-back 40-plus, 10-assist-plus games in a win over New Orleans and Toronto. Whoop-de-damn-do. up until that point, they were winners of 8 of their last 10, but that four-game winning streak left them last night, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So those are your NBA Players of the Week, and I'll run that screen pass.
Actually, I just want to say one quick thing about Dwayne Wade, because I was looking at this before he was even named the Player of the Week. He's having a good season. You look at his numbers, and not only his numbers, his shooting percentage is like the highest it's ever been. I mean, possibly because he gets a lot of easy shots playing with LeBron, but because LeBron is playing so crazy, people often overlook the weight at this point. That makes it does seem impossible, but it is happening. So, shout out to them. In terms of the Heat's 20-game winning streak, let me ask you gentlemen this: how impressed are you about it?
It's you can't knock that, man. Like, you know, as critical as I am of super teaming and, you know, all of that, like, all of that aside, you can't knock 20 straight games in the NBA at a professional level, man, because not only are they now beating, not only are they showing how dominant they are in terms of execution, in terms of talent, but now they're showing the mental aspects, because in the NBA, you can get to a point where you're like, yo, I really don't care about this game tonight. We don't need to win this game. Seeding is set. I'm going to take a night off, or I'm going to chill. So to find the motivation and the wherewithal to just beat down on these teams for 20 straight is very impressive to me.
And when you're a team like that, first of all, if you're the defending champs, not only do you get every team's best being the division champs usually anyway, as well as the fact that now that they're in this streak, every team also wants to be the team that ends it. I mean, every opponent wants to be the team that ends it. So you add the fact that they're streaking right now with this kind of streak in conjunction with the fact that they are the defending champs. Like what Brad was saying, for them to continue to put these types of performances up consecutively when they're getting that type of challenge from the other teams is impressive to me. Like that's still – it still takes a good amount of focus. Hell, effort. I mean, a lot goes into doing that.
Last night, I thought the young boys made a run. PJ, I was shocked. We was up by like one with a minute and a half left.
You kind of
knew that's when it was going to fall apart, though. Like, they can be playing tough. But anything in down the stretch where it takes actual thinking, the Sixers aren't built to think like that. So,
my thing, PJ. You made a great point. Everybody wants to take their best shot because they're the champions and also they have this streak. It's very impressive. I mean, hell, I can't win this many games on 2K13 in a row. Matter of fact, I couldn't win this many games on Live in a row. Maybe in a Double Dribble when I found out about that corner three. That baseline three was amazing. But other than that, man, it's like, yo, in order to win 20 games in a row takes so much.
Twenty times in a row.
My thing is this. What? There's a lot of people, of course, that we know that don't like the Heat, you know. So it seems like the Pacers was that horse that people wanted to jump on. Wait till Sunday when they play the Pacers. I don't really think people really, really thought that the Pacers, you know, were better than the Heat. I just think people really, really wanted the Pacers to beat the Heat. And they, you know, as far as on paper, they were the only formidable team they had played in the last few games. People make good points when they talk about, you know, the level of competition that they play, but this is still the NBA, and like you guys were saying, like it's still difficult to get. It's harder to get up to play bad teams every night,
right?
You know, than it is to play a good team because you think you could show up and beat these teams. I think that's why some of these games were close: the Orlando game, the Philly game, because you do walk into the gym and think, okay, if we show up, we can beat these guys. And then when these guys kick you in the mouth a little bit, you're like, oh, well, they want to play. So
you're like, oh,
you want to shoot me in my pinky toe.
I shoot that little
we got stubby. We got some people on the digital. You might want to go to the first one. Willie G want to talk a little bit about football. So we got to go back. All right,
let's go. Let's go. DJ Willie G from Tampa, Florida. What's up, homie?
What's good, people?
What's going on, brother Willie G?
What's going on, man? I just wanted to call to get y'all opinion on our pickup for Ghosting.
Man, y'all overpaid it, but y'all got a hell of a safety though. Y'all got the third. Y'all might have the best. He's between two and three in terms of his ranking as free safety. Earl may be a little better. I still don't want to let that one spot go for Ed Reed. Even though he probably isn't number one.
Reed ain't even top five no more, yo.
Yo, nah, look at the interception numbers, baby. Golson is a baller, yo. Golson is a baller, yo.
Golson I also seen that we also making a play to trade for Revis too.
Y'all don't pay that money.
That's right.
Don't do it. Where
are y'all picking in the first round? Because you know they want a first round.
I think we like 10th.
That's a big pick to give us.
We're not top 10. We in the team somewhere.
Okay. It's one of those things where if it works out and he's back to form, you're like, all right, good deal. But going into it, I'd be nervous as hell to give up a first, you know. Unless, you know,
I would rather make that trade than going for Nnamdi though.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's true. But I think wherever Nnamdi stops next, I think he's probably one going to be used right. He might not be the Nnamdi that we saw in Oakland, but you know, as far as what he did in Philly, he has to be. can he be any worse?
Honestly, Willie, that was an indictment of our entire D. No pass rush, help on the back line.
He's going to be better than he was in Philly.
Dang hard to be in here, but still. Hey, DJ Willie G, I got one point that I want to make, and I ain't going to say nothing else. Yo, y'all still got Josh Freeman as your quarterback, though.
That's true. I'm waiting.
African.
Don't get Willie to slander my man on the radio, man. Yo. Hey, man, we're about to talk about your Lakers in a minute, man, so stay tuned.
Man, that was a dirty play on my dog, too, man.
All right, well, we got one opinion on that because we're about to ask.
He should be fine. He should be fine and suspended from the league.
All right, so stay on the line. Damn. Stay on the line then because we might bring you back. We're
going to bring you back on, doggy. Hold on one second.
All right.
He said he should be suspended from the league.
Yo, I'll tell you one thing, man. Whether you like or love or hate, yo, Willie rides for Kobe, yo. Listen to this, audience. I really believe that Willie may be the biggest Kobe fan alive. If he could have took that rape charge for Kobe, he might have done it.
He's definitely punching in your mouth for Kobe. Man, I know that much.
Let's bring another member of Laker Nation, man. We got the homie Naeem. Naeem's part of Laker Nation as well. What's up, homie?
Boo.
Oh, man. How y'all fellas going?
Boo.
Is that amazing, Jimmy? I'm not even going to speak to the rest of them. Jimmy's just Laker Nation love right now. So
Laker Nation, you know what it is. Baby, it's Laker Nation over there. I got your back, doggy. What's good?
Man, listen. Dr. J, please. She talking about
Khan. That's all we got, man. That's all we got, man.
Please. I got to be like one thing.
I got to be like a Cowboy fan right now, man. Dr. J.
Is our homie B Street, Brent Ainsley, number one hater of the Lakers, a Sixers fan?
Might just do that in front of you.
No, he's a hater.
Plus, I think B Street don't like Kobe either, so he ain't going to
like him. The thing about it is this right here. What people fail to realize, we have superstars. We're playing together now. Last night it was a cheap shot. That was cheap. You know what I mean? You can't undercut somebody. That was cheap. But I'm not going to go there and cry with spilled milk. You know, I mean, but.
Cheap, that spilled milk might keep y'all out of the playoffs if you don't.
Yeah, but, I mean, we will make it down the stretch. We get in the playoffs. Only thing I can say is watch out. We got a healthy team coming back. I can't say nothing bad about, I got to give him his props. It's going to hurt me to say this again in life. LeBron James, I salute you. He's playing the best ball. I mean, he's taking it to the rec. You can't say nothing bad about him. Right. They're playing ball. They're playing a team sport, and they look good.
I could find something to say.
We all can always find something to say. I think that's it, right? Or that's
That's Bealson. He always goes.
Oh, Bealson, you like me? I'm a LeBron hater, but I can find something to say about him. I'm just not trying to give him. You know, right? He's doing good. I gotta give him.
So that play by Dante Jones. That's what the people want to hear about. That was dirty, fair foul.
That was dirty.
I think it was kind of fair. That's how people defend jump shots all the time, though. If you look at it again, right? He didn't aggressively step under him. He just followed through with his step. Like if you're running out on the shot, if you're jumping and diving on the shot, you can't stop your momentum
on a dime.
He turned around to look at the shot.
So I don't know if he turned around to look at the shot just to mask the fact that he was going to keep walking.
I thought he objected, but it didn't look like that. If that was Michael Jordan, it should have been a foul. I think it would have been a foul, but I don't think he stepped under his foot.
I don't think it was dirty.
I think it definitely was a foul, but I don't think it was dirty. Like he tried to step under him so he would come down on his foot. It didn't look like that.
Because when you say it's dirty, if you say it's dirty, then we're speaking to what
intent.
We think his intent was.
Yeah, but this
thing
got tripped though, right? Yeah,
Dante always
tripped him 3 years ago though. You talking about 2009?
You know what? That's why this is even a conversation because Dante has a path of being a little bit dirty.
And he does do it. Yeah, Dante always does that.
And he got a little beef with Kobe. Everywhere Kobe goes, they got a little thing that they. You know how Kobe gets around muscle bound perimeter defenders.
Kobe's muscle bound perimeter defenders get under Kobe's skin.
It could have been an offensive foul too because Kobe kicked the ball in his leg when he went up.
Well, hold on, let me make one point. I know Willie wants to come back on too. Naeem, here's my thing, right? And I may shock people by saying this. As a Lakers fan, yo, that play pissed me off. But if he was on my team and did that to somebody else, yo, that's the kind of man I want. Call it dirty if you want to. But I grew up with the Pistons. That's how they played basketball.
That was good defense if it wasn't against my team. I'm going to take that.
That's exactly my point.
So Jimmy's saying, basically,
Jimmy's saying, it was dirty, but I like dirty.
I can't complain about dirty because it was on my team. If he had on purple and gold, I'd have been up cheering. But the fact of the matter is, he heard all the time.
Right on. But you know what? When Kobe was like, he Jalen Rose me, Jalen went on TV and I was trying to take him out. Like, Jalen, like, a little trick that I picked up in the, you know, in the hood. That's how they play in the Midwest, too. I can vouch for that. Like, I got a couple of friends from the Midwest, and those dudes – like, it's not even the way we usually use the word. It's some scrappy, semi-dirty dude.
You
got to
play with shoulder pads on when you play catch.
Shout out to the homie Omar McGee. I never learned to pick up so many dirty tricks from one person. Omar McGee put me on to this.
They hack you when they got the ball. They hack you when they have the ball. Like, they'll come in close and do something, you know, punch you in your ribs as they go past you.
They play football.
I might get off. I heard y'all talking about this earlier, and I finally, like, set myself to watch last night because I had nothing on. I felt like doing nothing, and I was, you know, had my man cave to myself last night. I watched that Bernard Hopkins fight. Jimmy,
okay.
Sure I'm from uptown. Bernard doesn't claim uptown. He claims North Philly. But we all know he grew up on Weaver Street.
We know where he's from, though.
Yeah.
From Weaver Street, back Brickyard, you know, Germantown.
Absolutely.
So my, I have family on both. I grew up on the Weaver Street on my name. My other family grew up on the Weaver Street in Germantown. Disgrace to boxing. Give it up, Bernard. I'm sorry. I just have no respect for this man.
Damn.
I really have no respect for Bernard. No, I don't. I have no respect
for Bernard.
He's
beating dudes up in 48.
So why don't you have respect for him, though? You think he's trying to – he burned it?
He's punch drunk. That's half of the boxers that's fighting now. They punch drunk. But Bernard fights the same way he's been fighting, though. The most aggressive I've ever seen. All right, so are you mad because of last night's fight, or you just never like Bernard at all? No. That fight was on HBO, though, so I can't be that mad about him being born.
Exactly. is not born for free, but a younger Bernard, okay, that was Beehive. You know, that's why he's fighting. He's more defense. But
Bernard
older
always
Bernard,
fought that way, though. That's my thing. Bernard never was. He was always defensive. He was always a counterpuncher. He was always cagey. He was never the aggressive one.
He
never got it started.
Good.
Once I know.
The only time
good.
He did that was against Tito Trinidad. That's the only fight
exactly.
he did that way.
I was about to say. Okay. That's okay.
I mean, but at the same time, that's because Tito Trinidad doesn't know what a jab is. Tito Trinidad is swinging left and right hooks all day. You don't have to be that crafty to beat Tito. But if you get caught with it, you're going to sleep.
That's what you bet $100,000 on yourself, and you're talking about a hungry black man to get $1 million, too. Don't get that wrong, either. That's
see, but Naeem, you got to realize, though, like, because we all clown because he's still fighting at 48. But I kind of understand because he didn't get these kind of paydays when he was in his prime, so he's going to try to, you know, he's going to milk it for as long as he can, man. He finally making some kind of
fight
money.
He was trying to get a rematch with Roy Jones for, like, 35 years.
Roy wouldn't give him that payday. He's getting paid now. I'll keep fighting.
He's making the sport of boxing look bad. I mean, is he making the sport look bad? I'm leaving on this. Is he making the sport look bad?
He is.
No,
he's making the sport look bad.
No,
I would say he is because any sport when you got a 48-year-old dude dominating, you might be making the sport look a little bad, but he got to do what he got to do, man.
No, I'm saying the competition
at his weight class, though. The most competition you're going to get in boxing is from welterweight down. It's really not up in 160. Anything over 160 is tough, man. Middleweight and all that.
You can dominate it.
We can go on all day about boxing, though. Hey, right, Naeem, man, thanks for your call, man. We appreciate it.
All right, Naeem.
Laker Nation, baby.
Hey, let's bring Willie back on real quick because we're going to go out talking Lakers. Willie G, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, so, so you thought the play with Dante was dirty too, right? I don't know if I would expect you to say anything less, but.
I kind of see what you're saying.
Dante, he's the type of dude who does things and try to make it look like a mistake. But
my thing is, Steve, I mean, I could be objective when it comes to COVID, like unlike what Jimmy thinks. Yes, I can. But at the same time, though, if you look at it, Kobe was already finishing his shot when Dante walked up underneath him. You know what I'm saying?
Dante kind of he looked at the ball to make it seem like. You know, I don't know that I'm still walking into the dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I get PJ's point, and then you got to think about the point that this dude is known for being dirty. So you don't know when you have a reputation, you don't know when a cat is being dirty or not because you always think he's doing something dirty. But what do you think that's going to do for you guys and your playoff chase, man? If Kobe misses games, now the team is constructed to where y'all should be able to win games even without Kobe Bryant. So if he does sit out. What do you think? You know, do you think these guys are going to put it together? Because Powell's supposed to come back.
The problem with Powell coming back is Howard and Powell can't play together for some reason.
Well, if Kobe missed some games, they're going to have to learn real fast.
Exactly.
You're going to need all hands on deck.
It depends on who we're playing.
It depends on who we're playing.
If we're playing some bottom tip teams, we'd be all right.
Yeah, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but.
It's gonna have to go back to old Phoenix Steve Nash right quick until Kobe gets back.
Yeah, they're gonna have to do that's something. I mean, they have the talent to be able to win games without him. Dwight is gonna have to step up. I was about to say and have the type of game he had the other night, but that game was kind of fluke because they fouled him 6 million times.
I think he went to the line
39 times and only had 39 points.
I was impressed.
I think this is the time for Dwight Howard to actually show that this is gonna be his team.
They were hacking him on purpose. What were you impressed about?
I was impressed with him making foul shots. He usually isn't mentally strong enough to complete that task.
He still only made 25 or 39. Like, how do you get 39 foul shots and only 39 points?
That's true.
Hey, Jim, you got to take it out of here, man. We about to get out of here, man. Thanks for the call, though, homie.
All right, man. I'll holler at you.
All right.
All right, bro. Yo, man. Great show, y'all. Thanks for joining us. Oh, by the way, last thing, though, Dev. Kirby Puckett was the best player in Minnesota on that blog. You know,
okay.
Just to clear that
Mr.
up.
Mr. Twin, Kirby Puckett.
Rest in peace. That's right. Thanks for joining us in the war room today. Soldiers, shout out to everybody. Chat room, Facebook, Twitter, and all the callers who chimed in and rap with us. thanks to Fred Perdue of Heavy in the Game Sports Radio in Florida for joining us for, you know, talk a little college football. Tune in same time, same place next week, and we'll be talking with super agent Lee Steinberg, the real-life Jerry Maguire, about his career in his blog series in Forbes magazine titled The Death of the NFL. Listen, we have a special brand of sports talk only for live men, not for freshmen. So listen, until next week, catch us all over the internet. Don't forget WarRoomSportsTV.com, Facebook, and Twitter. And do not accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. I shall see you chumps on top.
All the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B-Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. It's not dialed.
Call it
323-0012. If you're going and you're sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip hop scholars, pit stop knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Sports secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.